This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be.
Welcome to This Week in Wrestling, Indies and International. I am Pete, and I'm with Timothy. And today, we're doing a kind of a special This Week in Wrestling, because I just got back from the CWF FanCon and CWF Rumble. So this show is going to be dedicated just to the CWF Mid-Atlantic. We're going to review the last television show that was in Chapel Hill. And then I'm going to talk about all my experiences for the week that was CWF FanCon and CWF Rumble. Of course, I'm joined with Timothy. Timothy, man, how are you doing?
Oh, doing good. Definitely jealous that I didn't get to make it out for CWF FanCon, but I am excited to talk about this week's TV because I actually really, really enjoyed it quite a bit. We've talked before about episodes where they're outside of the kind of the main place where they record, which I'm blanking the name on, the Sportatorium. Always being a nice kind of refreshing breath of fresh air, and this was no exception to that rule that they have at CWF, so I actually really enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah, I was so happy they played this TV before I got there, because after seeing, then we'll get to the main event, but after seeing that main event, man, I was running up to Snooty Fox, and I was running up to Eric Royal, and just putting that match over, because we'll get into it later. But I mean, I'm assuming you loved it almost as, I don't know. I'm sure you loved it. You'd have to be have bad taste if you just didn't like it. I just want to put over everybody. I want to say John and JB did a great job organizing everything and, having the, FanCon, and the company was so open and so friendly. I've never felt more at home at a wrestling show in my entire life. They just made you feel great that you came out, and then tying all this stuff in together, which I'll get into later on in the show, was so awesome. And I really can't put over the experience enough. I mean, I've had some great ones. This year alone, I've done a Rumble weekend with a bunch of the guys and had a blast there. Same thing with Mania weekend, Scenic City. I had a hell of a time. I was at the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, which I loved this year. But I think the CWF FanCon and the Rumble combination was just, I don't know, it was just special. And I hope I can give it justice on how I explain it later on in the show. But why don't we open up with talking about the TV, man? And we open up and we get Dirty Daddy, and he does some promo work to hype up his partner. I really enjoy Daddy's promo here. What about you?
Yeah, I comes out with the ladies, and he's talking about he's got the dirtiest mama of them all. I thought that was great. It's nice, and there is some issues in the background of, you know, some Southern wrestling and wrestling in general when it comes to the way that they treat women and all that. But, I mean, for Dirty Daddy's character kind of being, you know, pulled from the history books, it plays pretty well. And there's nothing, I would say, anything that could be taken as being, like, a little bit upsetting or problematic, as you can tell, is done tongue-in-cheek, and it's not, like, done in a way to be mean-spirited or putting someone down. So yeah, I thought it was pretty great.
Yeah, it was a straight up Jimmy Valiant type of Big Mama promo, setting up her as his like tag partner when he faced the Midnight Express in 1985 it was either 85 or 84 in Starrcade. I think it's 85, and it was tremendous. And here it was tremendous. And so we got Daddy and Faye Jackson taking on Kane Justice and Ethan Sharp. And, man, I really like this match. I gave it 3 stars. I thought it was a good – I thought Kane and Daddy really have good lockups, and they do it here. Kane's reaction to Jackson's jelly was great. Cecil was great with the one-liners. Brad and Cecil are just having a blast here, just having a just laughing along, because this has had a good job. This is, they did a good job of combining comedy and wrestling, so it wasn't a farce. Like, you know, we've complained about Joey Ryan being a total farce. Here, this is what you call comedy wrestling, but it's still based in wrestling. Sharp with huge heat on the cheap shot to Jackson, which I loved. Loving this Chapel Hill crowd. They're just a really treat to watch their reactions. The heat on Daddy was well done. I thought Daddy's strikes looked good. Kane and Sharp are great. Showing ass here. Great making, mixing the wrestling and the comedy. I'm not sure if this helps, because Sharp ends up eating Faye Jackson's finisher. I'm not sure if this helps the serious Sharp character, but you know what? He's so good in this role. It's bound to happen again, you know? It's hard to elevate him into a semi-main status in a way because of how well he does the comedy and how well he eats his gimmick up. I mean, he's kind of like a modern-day Andy Kaufman in a way. And, I mean, at first I was a little like, why are they trying to build him and then trying to knock him down here? I just think it's because he's so good at what he does and what he specializes in that it's hard to actually break that mold and really, really move him up to the card too much when you really think about it, because bottom line, the dude is very talented at what he does, and Sharp is in that role. I mean, and he's almost bulletproof in a way. I've heard some arguments. Like, I was talking to JB about this, JB Bryan, who hosted one of the guys who were the brainchilds behind the CF FanCon, and he's like, it's just the Chapel Hill crowd. It's a little different than doing it in the sportatorium. I go, I guess, but then everyone has access to the YouTube channel, so I'm not 100% sure on that. But I think it boils down to Sharp's a character that's kind of bulletproof, and you have to protect Kane, because, I mean, Kane is definitely a guy who they have plans for in the upper card in the next, probably at least next year, in the next few years. He's definitely going to be a big time. He's already a big player here, big in the mix, but he only has upwards and higher to go type of thing, where, I mean, the sky's the limit in CWF Mid-Atlantic for Kane and stuff. So, what do you think about everything?
With you on the quality of the match, for sure. Really, really loved it. I think 3 stars, like, spot on. Yeah, I like Kane and Dirty Daddy starting it out after you've had all the fun in the beginning with Faye Jackson and Ethan Sharp and Dirty Daddy interacting. Then you go settle into these two who have a really storied history with each other, obviously. So, it kind of juxtaposes that to, like, this is serious wrestling. As you talk about the lockup, it's great. These guys' interactions are always fantastic. I think as generation rivals, it really... I mean, we both kind of gush over Kane, but I think that Kane just having it so naturally... it's hard to say naturally because obviously he works hard and he is doing another martial art to even improve his skills in the wrestling ring outside of it. But just seeming to be such a natural, it actually helps to bring Daddy up to his level a lot, that he is his generation rival, I think. It really makes Daddy look that much better than he did initially to me. So, I do appreciate that. As you talk about it, though, there is something to it that it helps Sharp in some ways, and it hurts Sharp in other ways, because you show Kane having a weird reaction to Faye Jackson. He doesn't really know what to do with her. Sure, it's, kind of flying hip attacks and stuff like that, but you pretty early on after that show that Sharp isn't afraid to mess with her, and it does go to show then, like, well, who's the smarter man? Because Kane almost realizes that, if he did get into a fist fight with Faye Jackson, the best thing that could happen is he beats up the girl, and the worst thing that happens is he can get beat by a girl, right? So it kind of shows that, like, Kane might be a dirty, rotten heel, but he's at least smart enough to kind of understand that concept, while Ethan Sharp, as the comedy heel, who's kind of the foible of Follies, is going to, actually fall into that trap, especially here when he, to steal a phrase, I think, from Cecil here slaps the piss out of her. That spot was just nasty, because you did not expect it, as everything is semi-lighthearted leading up to that point. Things get real in that moment, and it definitely, you know, sets up the heat on with Daddy coming in off a house of fire. He gets taken advantage of. And then the heat on Daddy, I thought, was superb, because both guys have history with Daddy. So when you have a real vicious-looking heat from these two heels who you know have a history with this babyface that everyone loves, and he's selling his ass off as he's getting just beat down, it makes it so much better. And it's in these moments that I just think about how CWF just really proves the point that, like, it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what kind of flip-de-doos you do. Having good storylines and continuity that goes on, weaves, you know, a through line that people can be invested in, make wrestling. Like, that is what makes wrestling. Seeing these two heels work over this babyface that you know that they've had issues with for a while now makes you appreciate it just that much more. So, yeah, I just thought that, like, that this is just a match that really shows that off. And I thought this is perfect use of Faye Jackson. We talked about her as we reviewed the Nova Pro show. I thought that she was just a little bit too green for the match that she was in, but obviously has something. And I think here, she got to show off a little bit. She obviously gets the token kind of slap a woman spot to build up, you know, heat on heels. And then she comes in for the hot tag and gets the win. And I thought that that was kind of a perfect way to, I hate to say this, idiot proof her part of the match to get the most out of her. And I think that
I totally agree with you there, Tim. It was like almost like a per day. I think they just protected her so much and really got to highlight what her strength is, which is her charisma and her character. And they did it here. I mean, you know what? You know why? Probably because these guys are great at working character stuff, and the company knows how to do it because they excel at it.
Exactly. And that's my final thought on it. And so thank you for putting the exclamation point on that that point as a whole.
Yeah, or stop cutting me off. then we get CL Party with Cutshaw and Otto Swans. What did you make of this, brother?
I was definitely intrigued with them as a team, but I wasn't sure how it was going to play out. And while I like where it's going, I don't necessarily know if I liked the way it was set up. I don't know if you want me to get into the match, but
I definitely do. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, for me, I thought my problem here was that Cutshaw, while he looked good and he's playing his character, I felt that he went to the well too many times with the "I'm confused that he's my partner" shtick to where it almost got comedy. And I really don't think that that's where they need to be taking him. But the idea of a Cutshaw-Otto feud does entice me, because both guys are kind of unhinged, big, nasty brawlers. And, you know, that's a matchup that I want to see. So I'm excited for it, but I don't know how I feel about them getting into it. That sandwich squad looked good here, but realistically they were playing backdrop to this angle that I don't know if it hit its mark. I understand what they were going for, but I think that they went there maybe one too many times. I was almost thinking of it in the concept of the rule of threes, as you talk about, or as I talk about it, being a little bit too comedic. I think they kind of overpushed even the rule of threes. I think on the third one, that's when Otto needs to turn on him, but instead they kind of just kept going and kept going with it until finally Otto was pissed off. I thought that the realization elbow looked sick when he did finally hit it on Otto, and that being really the setup for, I guess, a new tag team move from the Sandwich Squad. Looks like a kind of like a slingshot into a, was it an elbow drop or was it a knee drop? I forget, but that sets up the pin there on Otto. And like I said, I'm excited for where this is going, but I don't know if I necessarily buy 100% into the way that they got there.
Yeah, I enjoyed the promo. That was fun stuff. Then I thought it was a fun Haas battle. I like Cutshaw's interference and setup on the neck. Like the wacky dynamic between the heels. And overall, I thought the match was interesting. It was more interesting than good, if that makes any sense. But it was interesting enough where I'm kind of intrigued if these guys wrestle again. I'd buy into it, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, I hope that it's leading to a match, but I think, as you say, I think an odd couple tag team, if they continued, it could work as well, but it felt like they went a little bit over the top with it for me, and that's why I'm wondering, you know, what's next. But these two interacting can be something for sure. There's something there. I guess I just want to see where it's going.
Yeah, I totally buy into that. Then we get High Profile, which I thought is a team that has potential. versus the Gymnasty Boys, which, you know, they're a blast. And again, then again, it's the Ugly Ducklings, again, another fun team. I thought I really enjoyed the Shine by the Ducks early on. But, you know, this morphs into just a really fun spot fest. Big moves, fun spots, you know, not a really driven story or anything, but there's a lot of fun for a match, you know. But I kind of expect more when I see a Ducklings match, because I really think they're one of the best tag teams in wrestling right now. And when I don't see them, you know, have like a 3.5-star match, I'm, you know, or 3-star match, I'm like a little disappointed. But I think this is more because of how it was set up, you know, a 3-way dance. I mean, it's hard to tell a story in a tag setting that way. It ends up, I mean, 9 out of 10 times, it ends up turning into a spot fest, and that's kind of what we got here. Well, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm going to echo essentially everything you say there for the most part. I liked Coach Mikey coming out. He gives the paper to CL Party that announces that it's Ducks Rules match, which means scramble tag, which, I mean, makes sense with them. But at the same time, I think that having a tag structure is a lot of times what helps the Ducks matches rather than hurts it. So I get the idea that if you watch a Ducklings match, you think that it's a high-octane car crash, and in some ways it is, but I think that what keeps it grounded and then makes their matches usually in that 3 to 3.5-star range is that when they have the structure of the tag setting, they're able to exploit it the best, you know, to the best of their ability, using their double teams, using all that to where it really makes sense. And then when it is just an all-out car crash like this, I think that it actually hurts the matches a little bit. So it's like, it's kind of one of those things where it weirdly, like, oh yeah, this would be their match based on how they wrestle, but it also, like, it doesn't fit their style in a positive way, so it's kind of odd like that. High profile we've seen before in PWX. I think I wasn't as high on them when we saw them in PWX as I was here. I thought that they did look good. I think that they have some legs there. I think that's a team that I'd like to see some more of. And then my biggest bone to pick with the match, with everything, is just, I hate to say it because I do like them just as much as you said, they're a lot of fun, but the Gymnasty Boys feels like a waste of White Mike and Timmy Lou Retton. I mean, I get that it's fun and cool, but to me it's like there's the Ducklings, there's, you know, the Young Bucks, there's, like, you know, I can't think of all of them off the top of my head, but there's, you know, EYFBO, there's Team Pazuzu, there's a couple, you know, dozen, like, crazy, high-octane, spot-fest tag team wrestlers that exist. And to me, when you put the Gymnastics together, they just feel like they're just another one of those. When, like, on singles, I think Timmy Lou Retton is actually a standout performer as a guy who has a really nice mixture of his size, power, speed, and agility. I mean, the big man shooting star press puts, I know he's not quite the same size, but it kind of puts the big man moonsault to shame that used to be like the kind of cornerstone of most impressive big man wrestling, you know, throughout the 80s and 90s. And now this guy is like a shooting star press. He can do full head springs and all kinds of crazy gymnastic stuff. And then White Mike, we've talked many times. I mean, White Mike is Dusty Rhodes' son, says he's the modern day Dusty Rhodes, right? He's the American dream of, you know, 2010s. And to me, yeah, just it feels like a waste to have these two guys who both have something special as singles feeling like they're just another scramble tag team match that's fodder for the Ugly Ducklings. And yeah, so that's like my biggest issue. But with that said, they're still really fun to watch. It just, it does make me question. I mean, if I'm booking, and I know, you know, you don't control it because it seems like they actually are behind this gimmick themselves. But to me, I mean, if I'm booking, I want both these guys in single settings where I can get more bang for my buck.
I can understand that point, but I also think as an act, they complement each other, because I think White Mike ups the charisma and the comedy, while Timmy Lou can bring the moves and the actual match structure and storytelling to it. And I think they help each other in that sense, where they'd be higher up on the card.
Yeah, and I think that if they do maybe get into the swing of it and work to fill in each other's deficiencies that way, I think that they could be a big-time tag team. But as of right now, and this is not the match to judge them on, obviously, but in this match, they just felt like, you know, like I said, just another spot-fest tag team.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This wasn't played to their strength. I mean, I'll tell you that. I think they're more better in a regular tag team setting where they're able to get 15 minutes and tell a story, mix in the comedy. They're almost like, you know, they can do the comedy and the high spots. I don't think it was a good setting for him. Next up, we get the main event, which is Snooty Fox versus Eric Royal, Brass Knucks on a pole match. Take it away, man.
This is how you work a fucking pole match. When you open it up, they put a chyron for a Mace Lee, so I thought it was a tag team or a handicap match or what was going on, but then the match starts and it's very obvious that Brass Knucks on a pole, singles match between Royal and Fox. And I mean, the crowd is hot for Snooty, and you talk about someone who's not afraid of the heat. I mean, Eric Royal plays it to the hilt. He's on the floor waving the flag as the crowd's getting into Snooty, and Eric Royal looks like he's trying to start a riot. I mean, I love Eric Royal's commitment to this heel character. He's afraid of nothing, like I said. He does not mind getting at everyone's goat. He's obviously just like the biggest troll on the planet Earth. So I love it as he's just talking shit, just basically like calling everybody out, trying to piss everyone off. Snooty, you know, comes in, gets worked over a little bit just to set up essentially a quick comeback as a shine for Snooty. Basic power moves is his game, and I mean, his game is good when it comes to that. He's not the most smooth worker. He's obviously not like super finesse wrestler, but basic power moves, big time stuff. It all looks legit with this guy. You get into him, he's got great fire, great charisma. The hometown crowd loves him, so they played that up perfectly. Then from there, yeah, I think Mace grabs the ankles, sets up some nice, nasty heat on Fox. They've got essentially, you know, 3-on-1 on the crowd. Think that that's great as they're just brawling all around. Eventually, Snooty sets up his comeback by countering a powerbomb into a back body drop on the floor. And I love that as he starts to get up, he commits to it, continues to sell the shoulder and arm that's been being worked over by all three men. That distraction essentially sets up the All-Stars being able to give Eric Royal the time he needs to reel and come back at Snooty when he comes back in. I thought that was great. Eric Royal, I mean, he's hits the charging lifters caught up in the ropes. I think just a great new spot that he's added to his repertoire that looks great. Plays off of his size, speed, and power. The guy looks like just a runaway locomotive as he just delivers shot after shot. But Snooty absorbs him and comes back. Teasing of the power slam back and forth. Eric Royal, again, just shows his mastery of work in all forms. I mean, the guy is just raw muscle, but he's got a brain. And it's just, I love that. Eric Royal, it's kind of to take a comic book reference, which this is probably something you don't expect from this co-host of yours, seeing as the comic book nerds are your other co-hosts. But he's kind of like that mix of the gray and green Hulk, the one that's got the power and the brains, as he's able to think. And it just shows in his work here as he plays off of Snooty's strengths, teasing the power slam, cutting him off, keeping everything that Snooty does basic so he looks good the whole time, but also, you know, keeps him in the fight. I was buying it. I mean, when he went for the first power slam, I thought, you know what, Snooty could win this and they could just never get the brass knuckles. And then when Snooty hits that avalanche, big power slam off the middle rope, I'm like, yeah, he could beat him right here and they don't have to get the gimmick involved. Well, I mean, of course, who books, especially not CWF, they're not booking a brass knucks on a pole match without getting the knucks involved, right? But I really bought into the near fall there. And Snooty gets up, he's reeling, he barely makes it to the top. And Snooty, I mean, he sold his ass off here. I thought he was so smart and so good at selling here. I was super impressed because a guy, you know, his kind of years in the business, his age, his kind of normal, as I talk about deficiencies of wrestling, being more of a big muscle up power guy, I almost would have forgive him for forgetting to sell after his big offensive moves, but he's not. He's selling the fatigue. He's barely able to climb up to the top. He gets cut off. There's a bunch of shenanigans involved. There's a second pair of brass knuckles that gets introduced. And, of course, Eric Royal gets the win using the dirty, cheap, you weren't supposed to be allowed to use them, second pair of brass knuckles. The crowd is fucking livid. This crowd looks like they're going to start a riot. I told my good friend Quentin, as he had an argument with me a while back about a mask versus match from Mexico that I said I did not like very much. I can't even remember who it was at this point, just because I thought the work in the ring was sloppy, well, wasn't super attentive. But he said the crowd reaction to the finish as the winner won dirty, which is not normal in Mexico for a mask match to end in a dirty finish, and just how pissed off the crowd was. He said he loved and looked like a riot and this and that, and how it just shows that Mexico, the fans are so much different. You can't have that kind of heat in America, this and that. Well, I would dare to say that right here, Snooty Fox, Eric Royal, these guys in CWF, they got that same kind of heat, because I thought that this crowd was going to riot. They were pissed off. They're yelling and shouting. They're chasing Eric Royal to the back, and Eric Royal is not running. I mean, he's standing up, still talking shit the whole time as he's just going to the back and these people are chasing after him. You got security guards and other people having to get in the way to stop them from going after Eric Royal. And yeah, this was just, this is work. This is work right here, in the like real sense of it. There's not a lot of people, they talk about, people don't know what it means to be a worker. I mean, these two worked this crowd to a fever pitch. And I was very, very impressed on this, with this match and with this performance from both guys.
Yeah, before I get into mine, what was your star rating?
Oh, God. I mean, it's really tough because, again, the match itself was not much for wrestling, but the heat and the, like I said, the work. I mean, I feel like I got to give it like 4.25 star, honestly.
That's what I went with it. Before I get into what my thoughts are on it, one thing I'll say is, They had to keep Eric in the back until they cleared everything out because there was people waiting for him outside.
Jesus Christ, that is
impressive. Because I asked these questions, and they were not happy with the police protection because the police just viewed it. Because what happens is they get a couple of the police guys are actually working, right? But they answered, there was actually a lot of police there who just showed up just to watch the wrestling, right?
And
if they get a call, then they'll come and they'll leave the building. If they get a call to go, they got to handle it or something, right? So once you have the police there, then all of them can show up for free if they want, right, to watch it. And so they just thought this is all part of the wrestling thing, that it was just this is part of it. The fans attacking them, they thought they were part of the work.
Fans.
Yeah.
Oh no! It's a stunt granny from How Is Wrestling Done Harley Race DVD, right?
So that's how they viewed it, which I got a total blast out of. This was really good stuff. This was Snooty Fox. I felt like Snooty was JYD on a smaller level, or in Chapel Hill. To JYD in New Orleans, and Eric Royal felt like Butch Reed in Mid-South. Snooty's the people's champ. Eric Royal, you mentioned the flag, so the flag is actually a Duke flag, and this is in Chapel Hill, which is UNC, University of North Carolina country, and they're arch rivals in football, basketball, everything. With basketball, they have a legendary feud, and so the heat is off the charts right off the bat. Royals going after that crowd right off the bat, just waving that flag, you know, just like a, you know, he's chest busted open, you know, popped out, like he's the man, just totally going to town, already getting heat off the bat. I liked Snooty's shine, is looking very, really practical and really working well. Royals shining up Fox real good. Love the interference to set up the heat. I thought Mace Lee and Jerry Carey, they needed to be a little bit more aggressive in their beatdown. But I got to understanding, someone told me that one of the wrestlers, maybe it was last year or earlier this year, did a beatdown a little too aggressively and broke somebody's ankle. So they were told to kind of, there's on like, you know, 2-on-1 beatdown outside, not to be as aggressive. And so I can kind of buy that because Snooty had to sell their weak offense, but I understand because of safety reasons. I loved Royal when we get to one point, there's like Royal wants to toss him into some chairs and these people won't even move. And so Royal just tosses Snooty right into the lady. It was freaking fantastic. I it was so awesome. And then then they start brawling in the crowd and they go outside. They're outside by a guy's playing pickup basketball. Snooty gets the ball and ends up freaking throwing it right in Eric Royal's head. It was great, which was a spot that was planned. It was Snooty's nephew actually playing the basketball, and so I love that. So he goes, but it was a spot they were planning. But I mean, they didn't know his nephew was going to have the ball, and he was glad his nephew had the ball, so he didn't have to look like an impotent baby face and not get the ball when he asked for it. That was great. Royals, then the back end, you know, they did a little basic circle, which is fun. Royals, running forearms inside the ring were just freaking, just absolutely nasty. And then we get the big setup with, it looks like, and you know, you can approach a pole match in two ways. Either there's a shit ton of climbing spots, or B, you try to brawl and beat the crap out of each other so you're not able to climb and get the nucks. And that's what they did here. And when you have two big boys doing it, there shouldn't be a lot of climbing spots. You should have two guys just teeing off on each other. You know, nowadays with the wrestling, most brawls are all about the weapons, like the chair shots, the sledgehammers, this or that, table breaking spots. This was all a visceral brawl. Like I think Dylan said it, it just showed that you can get a territorial brawl over in 2017, and they did here. It was just guys just punching each other. There wasn't anything, and you know, like you were saying, there wasn't much to the match, but. That's what made it so great was the simplicity. You didn't need 15 chair shots where you're numb and they mean nothing. Here, everything meant something when they punched him. And so those forearms down the stretch that Royal did was just phenomenal. Snooty with the big moves and then the brass knucks, the brass knucks that aren't legal come into play. He lays out Snooty and then the unthinkable happens. They put him, they bury him in the Duke flag and Snooty's fan club of ladies is just incredible. This is like Ricky Morton, all Ricky Morton's blowjob girls freaking cheering him on or here wanting to save Snooty and Royals just egging it on going, they're calling him cheater. He's like, I won. And waving up, jumping up and down, putting his foot on Snooty with the flag buried over him, and they just got to get out. Their stuff's getting thrown at them. I mean, honestly, in America, this has got to be one of the most heated finishes I've seen in 5-10 years. I can't even think of one in the U.S. that people would buy into as much. And I think any wrestler would be so jealous that they could have done this finish and be able to get this much heat. This was just off the charts, 4.25 stars. And I'll say it. Yeah, I'm not saying it's the best match of the year because that's only a 4.25-star match. But I'll tell you, I think it's my favorite match this year in the simplicity and how it was structured, built off an angle. We got payoff. And this sets up a shitload of stuff. Like, they can come back with, obviously, you know, maybe they're setting something up for Battlecade. Maybe they're going to a flag match at Battlecade. But I would go with a flag match before Battlecade and really set up a big stiff match for Battlecade between these two guys. Maybe a last man standing match or a first blood match or a North Carolina death match or any of those type of things. You know, a heavy heated angle driven match. I think Royal would be great at, you know, taking Snooty along, and they'd have another freaking fantastic match. And I would let Snooty get his revenge in the flag match, and then with the big stip match for Battlecade, I'd have Royal go back over because that's where I see it going. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm curious because you know what? They're just Stutty and Grant are much better at this stuff than I am. So I trust in what they're going to do. But my God, this is great stuff and an excellent television. The crowd in Chapel Hill was freaking fantastic. You have any final thoughts on the show, brother?
No, I mean, I think you hit everything there. I'm excited, just like you, can keep this feud going between these two, because very obviously Eric Royal is bringing out the best in Snooty Fox, really helping him grow and become something even bigger. And as someone who was more shaky on Snooty Fox to begin with, his story arc has been super solid ever since, you know, starting the tag team with Dirty Daddy, breaking off. He now feels like the next big thing. He's really got that. It's funny to say that, that Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley kind of feel in their early career in WWE. But you almost trust it even more here just because the booking is so good. And the crowd actually buys into him at this point, so that's even better. I mean, they did such a good job playing off of just how over he is in Chapel Hill. And I think, you know, the crowd back at the Sportatorium, it just works. Like, when the crowd sees you be a star somewhere else, when you come back, they're going to see you as a bigger star in the home promotion as well. When they're back at the Sportatorium, I think the crowd pops even just a little bit high, you know, a little bit louder. The crowd's a little bit hotter for Snooty Fox after this, just because he feels like a bigger deal, because obviously these people think he's a big deal, so he must be.
Yep. Hey, on that note, why don't we take a break? And when we come back, I'll talk all about my trip to CWF Mid-Atlantic.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we offer those to you on three great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the original Place to Be podcast, as well as Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, as well as the Our Vantage Point podcast and Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver quick-hit pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Psychology is Dead, Puro Potpourri, Stacy and Elliot's Bogus Journey, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Letters from Center Stage, Space City, an NWA Classics On Demand adventure, Through the Years, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, and much more. And on our popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, Go Home in a Box, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, Geek and Sassy, and Imaginary Stories podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to all of our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows plus others available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when shopping online, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryWrestling.com, and Scott Keats' Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
We are back, and we're back, and we're talking CWF FanCon and CWF Rumble. I mean, this is just awesome, this trip. I mean, I get into the airport in Charlotte. JB picks me up, and we head out, and we get there, and he's like, you'll never understand where this building is. And we get there, and all it is in this little strip mall. Not strip mall, but like a little strip parking lot section where you have like maybe it's a strip of maybe five storefronts, right? And one of them's the CWF Sportatorium. I'm like, wow. And never would have guessed it. I always envisioned like this, like, I don't know, this old decrepit building is what I always pictured in my head. What in your mind, what do you have it look like on the outside coming in?
So I had talked to them when I did We'll Do It Live about CWF, and I think coming in, I saw it maybe more like a gymnasium kind of area, you know what I mean? Like, probably a standalone building. Didn't necessarily think about it, how beaten down or whatever it would be, but you know what I mean? Just kind of that feel out in the middle of nowhere on its own. Maybe by some train tracks or something along those lines. You know what I mean? That's kind of what I pictured.
Okay, fair enough. And we walk in, and I'm just like, you know, just soaking it all in. And it's really an experience because it's something we've seen on TV for years now. And I mean, especially since we review it every week, we have we have an emotional attachment to it. I mean, as fans and guys who review their show every freaking week, you look in, you're looking, okay, here's the lobby area, and oh hey, over to your right, you see that's where they record their promos and stuff. And then you see the Crew Noodle box, and you go in there, all these cool pictures. They have the Crew Noodle Final Conflict t-shirts hanging in there, which is just awesome. If you've never seen it, you people need to go check it out. It has the date of the Final Conflict between Steamboat and Youngblood versus Slaughter and Crew Noodle in the cage. Just awesome. And you look around, and there's the ring in there, and you have the stairwell to it. On Twitter, I don't know if you saw it, Tim. I took some gimmick pictures of myself entering the ring, or entering from the well, they didn't have the lights on or anything, but walking the aisle. Did you see any of those?
I did not actually see any of the pictures. Okay. I'll be honest. I was going a little bit Twitter gray for the weekend, trying to not see any spoilers from the Rumble.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Fair enough. So I'm making my debut, and it was really cool. They had a catered Italian dinner, and I'm like, okay, yeah, catered Italian in Carolina, I don't know. But it was really good. That was really good chicken parm, great baked ziti. They definitely knocked the catered stuff, knocked it out of the park. And then we get to do, we're doing a, everyone's just, you know, introducing each other, walking up. Really cool people. I mean, I can't put over everyone enough how cordial and how inviting the whole CWF crew was, and how open they were to hanging out, answering questions, and just being there for us. It was just fantastic. And then we start to set up. So I get in the ring. Have you ever gone into a ring before?
Yeah, I've been inside a wrestling ring. It's pretty cool. Okay. It feels weird. Like, it's not what you expect. It's not not as rigid on your feet as you would expect, or at least that's how I felt. Like,
I akened it to where I felt like, and I bet it's something you get used to, but it felt like you were like kind of like on a surfboard or on a boogie board in a way.
Yeah, that's actually probably a pretty good way to explain it. It is definitely an interesting surface to be walking on, and I always thought of it that it would be a lot, yeah, like harder and just like sturdy, but it's definitely not.
Yeah, and so my body's also all broken down now, and so I'm trying to climb through the ropes, but at least I did wipe my shoes off. I've watched enough wrestling to know that you wipe your feet off before you get in the ring, because that's just what you do. You don't have no reason to be rolling around in shit. So at least I didn't make an ass of myself, but I mean, even Stutz, like, have you ever, when I try to get in and out, he's like, is this your first time? I'm like, yeah, it is my first time.
Well, have you ever seen, there was a whole series of videos of Jim Smallman being taught how to get in and out of a ring by Jimmy Havoc, just because he messed it up so bad the first time he tried to. So at least you didn't look that bad.
No, I didn't look too bad. I didn't look too terrifying, but And for some reason, it felt like because I was setting up my audio, and so I just felt like everyone was watching me and stuff. So that's just my paranoia. And so we did that, and I set up my thing in there, and we had the table, and then Stutzy and then Grant Sawyer did a Q&A for felt like a couple hours, and they have a total Laurel and Hardy type of dynamic in a way, where Stutzy like throws out the one-liners and Grant's like the straight man, and they really play off each other well, and then Grant has a good dry sense of humor, and then I'm seeing Grant when he's going through the ropes, almost looks like a luchador flying through, getting in and out of the ring, and here it taking me a few seconds to get in and out. But yeah, they were great, telling great stories, answering all the questions. I mean, for me, some of the questions I asked was about Nick Richards and not pulling the trigger on that, about Eric Royal, how difficult it is to book somebody who like, you know, we look at Eric Royal. I mean, the guy, can work tags, work a brawl, work a grappling style. He's a guy who can do a lot of different stuff, and how difficult it is to book somebody like that, where they do it, where, you know, when you're like a, like, I mean, he's almost like a, he's so good. It's almost like a baseball team where you can have him hit, you know, 3, 4, 5, or 6, you know, any position on the, you know, use him up and down the car. There's so many different things you can do with the guy because he's so talented. And they felt sometimes they don't use him to what they could. And that's not what I was trying to get at. I just find it hard to book somebody so talented where you can use him where he can get heat. You can use him to play comedy. You can use him in tags and singles, you know, in so many roles. And, you know, and they asked all of these, they told all these great behind the scenes stories, some ribs. They played, what's the game? Fuck, marry, sleep. What
Marry, fuck, kill.
Yeah. They played marry, fuck, kill a few times. It was a really interesting panel. And, you know, with a wild variety of questions, you had other guys there who know more about the history of the company than I do, who are upset because Stutzy's not big on getting the old catalog out onto the internet, and they want it, and because he makes the argument was like the first thing he wants with if someone looks up CWF Mid-Atlantic, the first thing he doesn't want them to get is that crap. He used the example of the crappy ECW tribute match. Where so and so was so and so and so and so, and that's their first taste of it. He wants it where he wants it to be positive in a way, and so he doesn't want to have people looking at that. And so it makes sense, but a lot of people are completists, so they want the whole history and the catalog and that like. So it was a really great, interesting panel. If you're interested in checking out, we uploaded it onto a Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation. So all these panels are up there. So if you're interested in hearing what they all had to say, and I'm just giving just a brief outline of it. They can obviously go in a lot more detail because you can actually hear exactly what they said and what they're talking about. So that was day one. And then we all, you know, it was me, and I was rooming with Ben, my buddy Ben and Josh, and then we had Dylan and Papa Hales were there, and then we all hung out, had fun, laughed till like 3 in the morning, or 3 or 4 in the morning. I was the only one who was able to get up at a decent hour the next morning for my crew, and I was up and out, and everyone was still asleep when I left to get to the Sportatorium at 10 o'clock with JB the next morning. My whole the Hales clan slept in. My buddy slept in. And then they never made it out there. They were planning on watching football anyway. So we get down over there the next day on Saturday. We went out there at 10 in the morning. And we open up with there's two face pro panels. And that was a lot of fun. I mean, some of my highlights was finding out that Nick Richards wrestled apartment, did some apartment wrestling and had a a gimmick name of Dick something. I can't remember the last name off the top of my head. Was one of it was his apartment wrestling gimmick.
Dick Gozinha?
Huh?
I said, was it Dick Gozinha?
No, it wasn't that. It was something to that effect, though. It was a lot of fun. I had one question I wish I could go back on because it sounded creepy when I asked it, but it wasn't meant to be creepy, which was I asked CL Party if she practices her facials in the mirror because she comes across so nice. And after I said, I'm like, God, that sounded creepy.
I hope Eric Andrews was not nearby for that one.
He was, but he didn't attack me. His daughter was with him. It came out the wrong way, but no one busted my balls about it, thank God, because it sounded horrible. But I ends up, I guess, I asked one of my questions was, you know, again, I asked about, you know, asking Nick if they, was he surprised that he got more cheers than Trevor at his match? And he said, yeah, he really wasn't expecting that. And I guess Grant, Grant was the real big proponent about this program, while Stutzy was like kind of lukewarm about it. That was interesting there. And it was interesting that he said, yeah, he was really kind of surprised that that the reaction they were getting over Trevor there. I asked Smith Garrett about his, I asked other questions, but I asked Smith Garrett how to get into the zone to put over that angle where he wasn't able to compete because of his bad back. I mean, he had a tear in your eye and really an emotional moment. And it turns out it's real. It wasn't it's a angle based in reality that he's not able to wrestle right now because of his bad back. And so at that point, I felt absolutely shitty because it got real, real there for a moment. And you can tell it, I mean, it still, you know, bothers him. He can't wrestle. So I quickly asked Mecha Mercenary what his cleaning techniques were for his mask to try to get, so I wouldn't feel so bad about asking that question and bringing up bad memories for Smith.
Well, let me tell you, like, as someone who would be listening to it, like, even though you might feel bad in the moment because you brought that up in front of him, that's the kind of stuff for people who listen to it later that they really like to hear. So as much as it sucks for Smith and as much as it may have felt awkward in the moment, that's like, you know, people really appreciate you asking questions like that, even if they're kind of hard in the moment to be answered.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it was really just like kind of felt, you know, we're all having fun and all of a sudden, you know, brakes hit. But he was a great, he had a lot of great, great quips. They'd talk about how Cool J would try to go out, cheap off on a bill. So old Smith had a headbutt him and busted his head opened him up for about 8 stitches to make him go in and pay his bill at Buffalo Wild Wings. Because that's not how you represent the company. You know, they talked about policing the locker room and all this stuff. And of course, ribs and other great stories and all that jazz. From all these things, Dirty Daddy was great on the panel. Everyone was just fantastic. A lot of fun. Nick Richards was just a ball of energy. Great storyteller. Just all having great stories. Oh, yeah, and I also forgot, we also did some Mystery Science Theater on night one where they put up some matches and some of the workers got on the microphone and talked about the matches or made fun of the matches or told stories about it during it. It was fun. So the faces were great. Then we got the heels. That was a lot of fun, too. Lee Valiant stole the heel panel. That guy, you know, his career is kind of coming to the end because of injuries. But if they use him in a manager role, he's going to be tremendous. I mean, because he's a great bumper. He's a natural at getting heat. And he did it at the Rumble. He did it. He even talks about being a heat magnet. Super fun guy, man. I was having a blast listening to him. And it's the one thing you don't catch if you listen to the audio. is most people were just sitting down, but whenever Lee Valiant had to tell a story, he got up out of his chair, walked around, was real animated about it. So it really made it really over. It was great. Something I asked Eric Andrews, which I liked, was, and Lee Valiant put over the question, like, whoa, that's a great question. I asked him, what's something do you take more pride in? Having that classic with Trevor Lee, or a week or two later when you had that match with a guy with not nearly experience in Cam Carter, and you had everyone in the building believing he was going to beat you. And lo and behold, it was because they took more pride in the fact that he had believed that he got the audience to he was able to have a really strong match with Cam Carter where people believed he was going to lose the belt. There was another fun panel with the heels. It was also pretty cool. Jerry Carey moderated it. Each heel got their own separate entrance, which I loved because they're heels. While the baby faces just came in because they're baby faces. So that was tremendous. All of them were great, yeah. Lee Valiant and Eric Royal were the standouts on the panel. But everyone had something to offer. Ethan Sharp, when he had the opportunity to speak, he was awesome. And then we got the Legends, which was hosted by Bruce Mitchell, and that was all about respect and how. The Legends really, really, really felt like they're really appreciative of all the people who came out from out of town to come visit, because, you know, they started out and they built this thing from a really small into from nothing into something pretty big now, you know. And then they're just really appreciative of what it was. And like, even off record, I mean, it wasn't like he said off the record, but Handsome Mitch Connor was saying, you know, he was all against this YouTube show when they first talking about it, because he didn't understand where it was going to reach all these people and how it was going to help the company. But he says, man, I'm glad I was wrong, because it's clearly helped the company. And you see stuff like that, and they all had great stories. And it was just a lot of fun. It was just like, you know, I Johnny P was like, well, are you going to interview some of these other guys? I'm like, you know, I'm having so much fun. I'm getting so much information just talking to these guys at the panel. I don't feel like I need. I think I get more for bang for my buck getting five people at a time, and I'm able to get maybe, you know, five questions. I was asking about five, six, seven questions during each panel, so I was getting a lot of information that I was most interested in and stuff. And so that was pretty much that. So we did that all afternoon. So around 2 o'clock, 2:30, it ends. We get a run in from Brad Attitude at the very end of the panel. All these guys are great. I mean, they're so appreciative, and so like just having a blast. And really, you can tell guys who don't like their fans, but you can tell these guys enjoy their fans. They're proud that they have people out here. You want to see him perform, and they perform to their fullest, and it's just an awesome feeling. And then at night is the Rumble.
Hold on, you cut out there.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was taking a drink of water.
Ah, okay.
And then that night, I mean, we fuck around for the afternoon. We go to, I think from like 2:30 to 5, we went over to Buffalo Wild Wings, had some beers and food, and watched some football. And then we headed back out there, and we bought front row VIP, $25. And, you know, you get all you can eat there and drink. I mean, it's not booze, but it's soda, candy, pizza, nachos. Probably the best $25 in indie wrestling, honestly. So if you're in the neighborhood, and I suggest you get the VIP seat, because you get not only that, you get this great cushioned big seat. And it's comfortable as hell, front row, and you get, I mean, just the soda, the candy, the pizza. I mean, like, I had a slice or two of pizza, a couple candy bars, two or three sodas. I mean, it's definitely worth it, because normally right there, that probably would cost me $15 or so at another indie show, you know, give or take. And the show was absolutely tremendous. I mean, opened up with Dirty Daddy and Kane Justice in their final match ever. And they totally delivered. That thing, that match was super heated. I'm curious on how well it's going to come across. Or not how well, but the match was great. I'm wondering how heated it comes across on video, because in the building, that the crowd was freaking Dirty Daddy came across like the greatest babyface in wrestling history, and Kane was one of the greatest heels in wrestling history. I mean, this is ridiculous. They're booing him out of the building. He had his whole sensei crew. A really great match. You know, we have Kane going after the arm. All this great arm work setting up the twist ending. You had Daddy working over Kane's back. Fantastic match between the guys. Then we got a six-man tag that it didn't really hit the mark. I'm kind of curious on how Grant edits it, because there were some blown spots in it. And yeah, I felt bad for one of the group not blowing the spots, having to deal with it, because yeah, it got a little like it. But then we got a really strong tag team of the Sandwich Squad versus the Dawsons. And you know, I've been the Dawsons. I'm always thought they're okay, but live they're a much better, you know, more believable ass kicking tag team than you believe than they come across on tape. And they do come across mean on tape, but live they really do. And they had a really fun structure, had a really interesting twist in it, real good solid tag. And then we got a TV title defense, and which was it was a barn burner. And then we get to the Rumble, and that thing was an absolute masterpiece. I mean, I totally lost my shit during it. So many great moments. They start out with Trevor Lee and what's his name? It'll come to me. Hold on. And Rick Converse. So they're already starting off playing their history of Trevor's the current champ. Rick Converse used to be the old kingpin. And so I thought that was great. Those two guys starting, and they just weaved all these storylines in and out. Great moments. Great work. They established guys, they teased stuff, they set stuff up for the future. They had a couple hard angles. They clearly set a lot of stuff up. I'm going to save some of the spoilers for our show when we get to actually watch it, because I don't want to really ruin everything for everybody. But man, the last 10 or 15 minutes I thought were some of the most dramatic, real moments in wrestling. When you just totally get you all in. I was totally aimed in one way, and then they totally flipped it on me. And then they, at the end, in the end promo, it flipped me again. I mean, it took me on a roller coaster ride. It honestly, I think it might have been the best Rumble I've ever seen. On paper, live, it felt like it was a 4.5-star match, match of the year contender. I mean, it was great. We got blood. We had great angles. And it helped that the angles were transpiring right in front of us on the beatdowns. We'll talk about it when we both can talk about it. I don't want to spoil it for everybody. But my God, the last 10 or 15 minutes are amazing. A lot of great storytelling. I loved they weaved some stuff where we're going to get some immediate paybacks. And then there was a lot of stuff that was subtly built in, I believe. And we'll talk about it again on the show next week or the week when after the Rumble airs. You can definitely see where things are going to happen right then and there. But then there's a lot of subtle stuff that I thought they set up going forward that I'm interested in seeing. And then we have some stuff I think might be paid off next year. And that's what they did. They used this Rumble as a tentpole to freaking take the company in different, keeping the talent, for bringing the talent in different directions. And I'm really excited to see what they do with it, because I thought they laid the groundwork beautifully. Bruce Mitchell said this was the best Rumble he had ever seen. I was drained afterwards. The guys all worked hard. I mean, they had some fun spots. There was a lot of hard hitting spots, super heated. Yeah. The last 10, 15 minutes were incredible. And then stuff you knew it was going to be booked. You knew because the All-Stars had control over it because of the golden ticket. You knew they were going to be 30, 29 and 28. And you knew Trevor Lee was going to have to go through Murderer's Row to win this at one point. But even though we knew what was going to happen, we knew that was going to happen, we knew it was coming, they were able to take us on a ride that we weren't expecting, where they took what we all knew was going to happen and kind of twisted it a little bit, which I found it very fascinating and gutsy. But it all shook out for this incredible, incredible run. I had lost my voice for 3 days and finally got back today. I was totally, totally bought into everything they're playing there. There's clearly going to be, after we watch it, there's clearly a lot of it. There's some clear MVPs, but man, there were so many great moments and timing and great performances from people. And they established some other talent going forward. I thought if everything pays off how it should, they really use this Rumble to set up things for, put themselves in a great position going into Battle Canyon and beyond. It's gonna be tough for Battle Canyon to top it, but you know what? I think they're gonna do it because they're fucking awesome. They're a great company, and I was so happy that I got my, it was on my bucket list. I was talking about it all year long, I thought. And so to be able to, my bucket list to be complete for it, I thought it was awesome. I cannot wait to go back again. I'm definitely going to go back to the convention and going to do it again for number two. It's great to be on the ground floor looking in and now to be part of it and to meet all these other fans and the company and everybody. It was an honor and a pleasure, and I had so much fun. And I just can't wait till next year. And it's almost like a drug addict who's on this euphoria. And I'm just tough coming down from this high of the show and the whole entire experience and stuff. So I just can't wait, and I can't wait for this stuff to air in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch it with everyone. I'm excited to review it with you, and I'm excited to make the trek. I got to make it out to the Mecca, man. I mean, we talked about it just earlier tonight. I mean, the stuff that is going on with CWF is just, it's too goddamn good to not want to make it out for this big fan con, fan convention, everything that's going on there. I mean, geez, like, it sounds amazing. It sounds like, you know, wrestling Disneyland or whatever. It just seems like the place to be.
Show started on time and never overstayed its welcome. It left you wanting more. Everything you want from a show.
Yeah, it sounds like, wow. Just like, wow. It's something to really check out. I mean, hearing from you that's the best Rumble you've seen. I mean, I don't know if you mean Rumble, Battle Royal, or if you're making
everything,
a different...
all that Battle Royal Rumbles.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't consider it... I'm not voting it against... The only thing I might maybe like 2 years ago, maybe that thing from maybe one of the Lucha Underground shows, but it's different, you know, because that's different.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the one with Ray and Matanza and all that was pretty good. I get you on that, but that's also edited to shit, and you know, it wasn't as good live and all that. But I mean, yeah. I mean, hearing it coming from you, coming from Bruce Mitchell, coming from people who've been following CWF for years. I mean, it sounds super impressive, and I got to see it.
Yeah, I'm curious on it. They kind of, the emotion comes across like it did in the building. Again, it was super heated. yeah, the crowd gets caught up in the moment. There was a small "This is awesome" chant that died out real quick. Thank God. Because I hate that chant. I don't want it anywhere near my CWF. I'm just hoping it comes off as well as it did live, as it did on tape. An incredible moment. And it's great to be able to do it with a lot of my friends. Hopefully next year, when they do it, you'll be able to come down and we'll have another friend there. So.
Yeah, exactly. I'm definitely looking forward to it. Definitely looking forward to seeing a lot more friends there, too. I think more people will be heading out once they start hearing about this and the prequel year, right? So it doesn't matter if you missed this year, unfortunately. If you did miss it, that sucks. If you were there, you get a little bit extra clout, but you also can still say you've been there since the beginning if you start going next year, because that's the first official year, according to Johnny P.
Oh, really? Okay. I didn't know that, but okay. That makes everyone feel better.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we just want to be inclusive. Cast a big, big tent here.
This is the test run. Oh, God. All right, man. Timmy, anything you want to talk about before we head out?
Okay, so as of right now, Top Beer is on possible hiatus, possible coming back. We don't know. We'll see what happens. Lucha Undead may have a very special episode. I would expect a very special episode coming up very soon.
A Saved by the Bell drug.
Exactly. I was going to say, if you listen to my most recent guest appearance on Burning Spirits, we talked about the Metallica documentary, Some Kind of Monster, where they show the band going to couples therapy. You might be getting something very similar coming up soon. Maybe a therapy session, maybe a talk therapy session coming up. So it's definitely something to keep your ears out for, to see when that comes out. Otherwise, I feel like such a bad friend. I've been having such a shitty time at work. I've stood in line for beers too much recently, which is something that I said I would never do. I mean, I think I have a cumulative wait time of an hour for beers, which is not too bad for getting what I've gotten recently, but I think I'm going to tone that back down because it's affected my relationship. So, unfortunately, I don't have anything else to plug from friends and family members or whatever that I think people should check out. But yeah, I got some stuff coming out soon, and I will definitely be getting back involved with the community here soon as well. But that's it for me, Pete. And as everyone always knows, all roads lead back to the Twitter. So if you want to find out what I'm doing, just follow me on Twitter at Lucha Undead.
Yeah, follow me at Titans O' Wrestling. I will have another WorldCast dropping. I think it's tomorrow, Wednesday. Well, we leave this one won't drop before that. Take a look, listen to those audios, those Q&A panels that I dropped that recorded at the fan con. So if you want to get to know more about the talent and get to feel what the crowd and what we were getting, it's a good place to start. On that note, man, everyone have a great week. Find some wrestling you love, like, and watch it and enjoy it. There's too much wrestling out there not to enjoy it. Have a great week, folks.